brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, it's sippin' time again. Well, and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2:02 a.m.
And the minute after that.
Yeah, but at 2:04, not anymore.
By the time the commercials and the opening credits, every other store's show is open and we're done.
So. C-SPAN's just killing us.
Well, it's not our fault. I mean, we usually have Harm on the show. And what does Shannon call him? The 60-second wonder?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So. I thought that was the 6-second wonder.
Yeah. Well, it takes him 60 seconds to get his pants off. So, yeah.
No, you're wrong about that. 60 seconds to get the microscope out and find it.
That's but true, too. A minute 46 already in the toilet. All right. Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are Made Man Brent.
In honor of Harm not being here, I'm going to praise every scotch.
That sounds like a good plan.
You know, I'm just going to rave about it.
That sounds
like a good plan. And how I can't get it.
Yeah. Why don't I have this in my store? Yeah. And Made Man Maury.
Good morning, Bob. It's a nice, beautiful, damp morning in the basement.
And good old boy, Justin.
Good morning. Feels like a peat bog in here. I love it.
I only wish I lived in a lovely peat bog in a big castle somewhere, you know, with Boris Karloff hanging around being my manservant. It would be awesome. Dreams. Just need that Powerball.
Right.
Well, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and pretty much anything else you can sip on. And here are the whiskeys we're going to be discussing today. From Lindor's Abbey, we have the 1494. We have the Lindor's Abbey, the cask of Lindor's. We have Gordon and McPhail Distillery Labels, Glentauchers, 2006. We have Gordon and McPhail Connoisseur's Choice, Kalila, 2008. From Glenglassa, we have the Portsoy, the Glenglassa Sandend, and the Glenglassa 12-year. And we have from Highland Park, the Highland Park Cask Strength 4th Release.
I am very aroused.
I get it. I totally get it. Come on. Even Brent thinks this is a good lineup of scotch.
Oh, this is most definitely. I just don't know why I can't get it in my store.
Yeah, well.
We don't have a store.
I am replacing Harmeet today.
His store is way better stocked than Harmeet's store. I've been to Brent's store.
Yeah, it's just a little short on scotch, but other
there's
than
no
that,
prices
it's pretty good,
or
yeah.
anything.
Yeah.
And you got to play cards, but.
He wears a kilt, but he doesn't wear anything underneath it, which is kind of creepy. So, yeah.
With his knees up to his ears.
Yeah. Go, Brent, go.
Free Willy.
Willy's free.
All right. We're going to be, let's give, God, against my better judgment, let's get Justin to do the sips ratings.
Oh, I don't know Justin, but I'm groundskeeper Willie. One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth. It's horrible.
Water. Bring water.
Two sips. Nice, but what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Hold on. Technical difficulties.
Interesting.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
Five sips. Oh my, I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh my goodness!
Yes! 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 Yes!
Sounds like somebody like had their way with the Lucky Charms guy, honestly.
I'm glad he's just a groundskeeper.
Yes. You know, it sounded like a really bad Scottish groundskeeper attempt to be Carl the groundskeeper from Caddyshack, you know.
I like it.
Yeah, not good.
No.
Oh, dear God.
That's on, Bob. Tell us about whatever you're going to tell us about.
That's what I love most about him is his enthusiasm.
Kid Moore, some coffee. Stat.
Look at him. He's ready to slide under the table already.
Dr. D.
1494. Come on. So,
all right. Well,
it all began.
Our first whiskeys are coming from Lindor's Abbey.
1492.
And Lindor's Abbey is a very historic property. In 1494, the Exchequer Rolls record that Brother John Corr, a monk at the Lindor's Abbey, was commissioned by King James IV to turn 8 bowls of malt into aqua vitae. This is the first written historical record of distillation of Scotch whiskey. For the last century, the Abbey has been owned by the Mackenzie Smith family. And in 2001, Drew Mackenzie Smith first learned of the Abbey's history and distillation from a whiskey website, of all places. He was then shown a book by his father, written by the late Michael Jackson, Scotland and Its Whiskies, in which the author said of the Abbey, for the whiskey lover, it is a pilgrimage. This stuck with Drew, and after many years of planning, a new distillery is built in 2016, with distillation beginning the following year. So this is Scotch from literally the primordial birthplace of Scotch. So the first one that we have is the Lindor's Abbey 1494. And if you don't see it, it's because it's in Roman numerals. It's MLX squiggly line Q. It's 46% ABV, 92 proof. It's non-age statement, all natural color, non-chill filtered, because as we all know, chill filtering is the tool of the devil.
It's a crime.
Should be punishable by a good flogging. Mm-hmm. This is the first commercially available whiskey from Lindor's Abbey. This expression was aged in ex-bourbon, ex-sherry, and STR ex-burgundy red wine cask. So,
Well, I'm going to tell you something. That STR means shaved, toasted, and recharred, for those that don't know.
Yep.
Oh, very good.
And yes.
I had no idea what that was.
Well, that's because I'm Harm.
Yep.
He knows everything.
I know everything.
Good job. Good job.
So that was actually the STR process. That was Dr. Jim Swan who kind of pioneered that. And one of the first places he took that was Kavalan over in Taiwan. And it's caught on as a fairly big, good practice in Scotland. And it works. It's, you know, they have great results with it. So let's see. The color on this, it's a nice pale gold. It's got a good clarity to it. On the nose, it's got a little bit of it's a little bit malty, but there's pears and sherry, and you get a little bit of the wine note on the tip of the nose and hazelnuts. It's just a really pretty flowery nose to it. And on the palate, it's got a very creamy mouthfeel to it. It's got a really nice coat. There's a lot of rich caramel in there. Dark, dark stewed fruit. Orange peel. Maybe a little bit of a grapefruit note to it. Pretty dang nice whiskey, considering as new as they are. So that was I was hopeful that it was going to be good, but they're new, so you never know. And coming from such a historic property, I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, that's a solid effort. So what do you think, Brett?
One good eye, I'm going to tell you, this is a pretty fruity bourbon there. You know, it's got a lot of fruits on the nose and
it's
on the palate.
A bourbon.
Oh, it's what, Scotch? Oh yeah.
Okay, see? Harm.
Yes.
This is scientific.
Yeah, dude, so rad.
It's got those pastry notes to it. It's got some floral notes. It's a great mouthfeel. Just covers your mouth. Got all those fruity flavors to it. You know, I wish I could get this in my store. Worry?
I think Bob was spot on again. He and I must have been on the same astral plane today. I think this whiskey is delightful. It's actually improved in the glass. I think it's got a beautiful nose. It's got a luscious, viscous,
palate coating mouthfeel. He described the flavor spot on, lots of caramel, dark stewed fruit, chocolate orange peel. Finish goes on. I think it's a beautiful whiskey. I was pleasantly surprised and blown away in a good way.
Is this where I interrupt you?
You can interrupt me anytime you want, Harm. But honestly, this whiskey started out as just, you know, okay. And it's just gotten better and better in the glass.
When I first started selling whiskey, I know the history of it because I teach classes on Scotch whiskey. So I was very excited to get this. And I've been sitting on these bottles for several months now waiting for this show. And I was very hopeful that it was going to be good. But, you know, it's a brand new distillery. Usually they start out a little bit rough. So I was hopeful.
It is about 7 years old.
And as soon as I opened it up, I went, holy cow. I'm very pleasantly surprised.
Those fruits came out right away.
This is solid whiskey. If I told you this place has been making whiskey for 30 years, you'd believe it. So, yeah. What'd you think, Justin?
So started out with the fruit basket and ended up in the French chocolate shop. With the hazelnuts and the marzipan.
Yeah, the hazelnuts are there, big time.
And on the palate, just decadent, complex, rich. This doesn't taste like...
Stop talking about Brent that way.
That's okay, I pay him.
Paid well.
I mean, this is really all you ever could hope for a seven-year-old Scotch. I mean, it's beyond its time. Keep going, Linzer Abbey.
Yeah.
Keep going.
The mouthfeel on it too, that's the thing that really sort of set me off is it's got such a great creaminess and a great coat on the mouth.
Yeah, so. Great mouthfeel. Keep going.
What more can you say? Wendors Abbey, 1494. Great work, guys. We're gonna be rating that. A well deserved 3 sips.
I wish I could get this in my store.
Clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we were just talking about the first whiskey of the day, which was the Lindor's Abbey 1494. Gave that a well-deserved 4 sips. Honestly, I'm leaning a little higher, but we don't go halfway. So that takes us to our...
Didn't we give it 3 sips?
I said 3, didn't I?
You said 4.
Did I say 4?
You said 4.
Thought I said 3.
No, you said 4.
Oh, I know. We were 3.
We were leaning towards 4. You had 4 on the brain.
Yeah.
I'll give you credit for that.
It's because Harm would say 4, but I said 3, and so I lowered it because of Harm's score. So.
Oh, you're going to be
the spirit of Harm.
You're going to be Mr. Bitter today?
Mr. Yes. Contrary.
Sitting in next to me is Rich Little. He's playing Mr. Bitter. So,
speaking of Mr. Bitter,
tell us about our next whiskey.
So the next one is the Lindor's Abbey, the Casks of Lindor's. It's 49.4% ABV. It's 98.8 proof. The second cask of Lindor's bottling features exclusively STR, that's that shaved toasted rechar wine barrels.
Barriques. Yep.
Yeah.
Which is a fancy word for barrel.
Right. Barrels. Matured exclusively in the shaved toasted rechar red wine barriques from Spain. So the color of this one is just a little bit darker than the other one. It's a little bit like of a more of a like a worn straw color. On the nose, you get these beautiful fruit expressions. You got this, it's apricot jam. and toffee, and a little bit of cinnamon.
Yeah, it is real jammy.
Yeah, very jammy.
And the palate, too, follows through with that same jamminess.
It does. You know, this has a long finish to it as well, but when on the palate, that fruitcake note came right out. Like I remember the fruitcakes that my parents would get when I was younger, and I think they still have them.
They're still in the boxes.
They're still in the boxes.
They've been gifting and re-gifting them.
They're antiques now.
That's really what it reminds you of. It reminds you of tasting that fruitcake. You know, you have all those berries and the fruits in there, and it really is that.
Oh, I've never tasted fruitcake in the real, truest, purest sense of the word, but I can tell you
you are missing out.
Delicious. This whiskey is delicious. I get the apricot. I get the sweet and the spice.
This comes from the man with the rhubarb pie.
The cinnamon. I think the finish goes on and on. The palate, the nose, it's got beautiful mouthfeel. This whiskey, too, has gotten better in the glass. It came out and I thought it was okay.
Is it sad it's gotten a lot better? Yeah.
I'm digging it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm digging it. It's dessert in a glass.
Again, I was happy with it when we opened it. I'm like, wow, this is better than I had been hoping. But it's gotten better.
Like, so, what happened? Yeah. What is that?
STR Winebreaks, that's what it is.
I mean, if I was going to own a bottle of scotch, this might be one of them I would own.
Mm. The nose is just so pretty on this. It's just so jammy and sweet.
Right?
I mean, the nose is great, the palate's great, the finish is great. Yeah. It's just long.
The bottle's really interesting. It looks like a barrique of some sort. It's got ribs on it representing staves. It's elegant. It's pretty. It's got a real cork with a wooden stopper. I think they did a beautiful job and paid homage to the birthplace of scotch.
What'd you think, Jason?
This scotch has the best mouthfeel I've experienced all year. It's the only way I could describe
since the first time he drank Liquid Pledge.
The finest
Fabuloso.
The finest like strawberry preserves on like mouthfeel, like just all the flavors, fantastic. Wow. I love this.
You don't get out much, do you?
No.
That jam at the Holiday Inn Express on the morning, they, you know, it's just like that, right?
This reminds me a little of the Vino Barrique Cavillon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I mean, it's different whiskey, obviously, but those STR wine barriques, same process. There's a base there that's very similar.
So Jim Swan's in common with both or no?
I don't think Dr. Swan worked with these guys because I think he had passed away by the time they got started. But he was the guy who pioneered the STR, so you know, you can trace all that back to him. But yeah, this one was better than the first one when we opened it,
and now it's singing,
and it's even gotten better with time than the first one got with time.
I would lobby to bump up the rating from a 3 to a 4.
Thanks for catching up with me, guys.
You're welcome. Mm.
Well, we're going to be rating
better slow than
the Windors Abbey, the cask of Windors 2.
Don't like Harmony.
A well-deserved 4 sips. Way to go, guys. That's the way to represent a historic property like that. So fantastic stuff. So let's go on to our next producer, and we're going to have Maury tell us about them.
Why, thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
The next producer is, of the many independent bottlers of scotch we have discussed over the years, Gordon MacPhail is always one of the highest regarded. Establishes a grocery business in 1895, founders James Gordon and John Alexander MacPhail also purchased and aged barrels of whiskey from Speyside's many single malt scotch whiskeys. John Urquhart joined the business as an apprentice and quickly learned the skills of selecting, purchasing, and maturing whiskeys. As he progressed in the business, he was tasked with the creation of house blends for the shop's customers. John became senior partner and sole owner of the firm in 1915, and the firm remains in the hands of the family to this day. Our first whiskey is the Gordon MacPhail Distillery Labels Glen Toshers 2006. It's 43.0%
It's 43% ABV, 86 proof, and it's 13 years old. This whiskey has a very pale yellow color. It's nearly colorless. It's very, very pale. On the nose, it's sweet, it's light, it's fruity, there's lemon, there's pineapple, there's some citrus aroma, there's a hint of vanilla, and then some boiled sweet and subtle hints of banana. On the palate, it's just voluptuous. It's got beautiful viscosity and mouthfeel. There's a little bit of grapefruit and spice. There's some cheesecake. There's some white chocolate, a little bit of vanilla. And then the finish just sort of fades slowly but surely over time. It just sort of goes and goes into the sunset. I thought this whiskey was delicious. I really like this. I thought it was an excellent job and really, really ticks all the boxes for me. What did you think, Justin?
Lemon, curd, and French oak. What did you think, Bob?
Justin, try not to be so wordy.
He's so wordy. Yeah.
It was this, four. That was four whole words. Yeah.
Well, and one of them wasn't a cleaning product, so that's good.
I only taste it when it's there.
When I as I raised the glass, the lemon jumped out. But once I got my nose in the glass, it is a pineapple bomb. It is lemon, pineapple, orange, bitter orange. It is like a tropical fruit smoothie. And that it's fantastic.
Right, I mean, that is a smoothie. Yeah, yeah. You know, you go to these stores that make these fruit smoothies.
I'm waiting for the Scotch smoothie place.
I honestly I don't even want to drink it. I just want to smell it. It smells so good. With that pineapple, I mean that's literally my favorite fruit. I always have pineapple in the house.
It's rare to get a pineapple flavoring out of a Scotch or anything.
Now than before.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're coming out with more of it.
But when you taste on the palate, I don't taste the pineapple. Maybe a slight hint, but it's not like it is in the nose. More on the palate for me, it's more like a lemon cream smoothie. There's a little bit of white chocolate in there. There's a little bit of vanilla in there. And it's just got a nice creamy coat to the mouth. It's lovely. It's really lovely. But that nose, oh my gosh, I could smell that all day.
I mean, I'm taking a sample bottle of this to the smoothie store with me and add it in once they give it to me.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Who are you?
That's what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why I'm doing it. So
this would be good as a gelato.
But it's Saturday. It's what you do every Saturday.
Right.
So how's that unusual?
Well, it's usually not a Scotch.
Yeah.
He's harmed today, though.
Yeah, that's right. You're harmed today. I keep forgetting. It's sorry, harm. I didn't want to mess that up for you.
But I got this in my store, though, so you can always have it, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're just perfect. So,
do you charge for it, or is it free?
Well, you know, your
that's
first
how drink. Drunk he is.
do you put it on the machines or Enotex?
Oh, the Enomatic machines.
Enomatics?
Do you put that it on the haven't worked since 1994.
Yeah, well, we're getting to it. They'll be up in another month.
And the hump of the floor, fault. Also the landlord's fault.
Yeah. You call it the camel floor.
I think the hump might be gone.
Hump.
Was it the hump in the floor gone? Show.
Well, it's mostly gone.
He's been taking a lot of calcium supplements, so that's helping the hump.
Why do you get talking about humps? This is a family show.
Well, we went and visited the store, and the hump was, I think, gone or reduced.
Don't talk about his wife like that.
You're a dead man.
Ouch.
Okay, so our rating for the Gordon.
Sorry, lady.
Let's get back to the whiskey. Our rating for the Gordon MacPhail Distillery Labels Glentauchers 2006 is a well-deserved 4 sips.
Yabba dabba.
Yuzza. Yeah, fantastic. So,
good job, guys.
We're going to have Justin tell us about our next one.
Okay. Gordon MacPhail Connoisseur's Choice Kalila 2008. 55.6 ABV or 111.2 proof. It's 14 years old. First fill sherry butt. Love a big butt. I cannot lie. Cask number 312051. So this one, has like a light
What was that sound?
That's the smell of, that's the sound of Pete hitting the my smell of factory.
Oh yeah. My God.
That's the smell of
happiness hitting his brain.
And I got know
what
like,
you're happy about.
Well, I got smoked sausage on the nose, and smoked sausage makes me happy because I'm not very complicated.
You know, if you bathe once in a while, I never mind.
Well, what would be the fun in that? On the palate, I got campfire.
You're right. You're right about that. Spot on. I cannot lie.
Sausage.
A little bit.
And on the finish, smoking sausage. And you, Maury?
You're spot on. I think you got it spot on. Smoke. Lick it on, clean out the campfire. You're ready to make a new fire. The fireplace is spotless.
You guys just don't appreciate a really good smoke. This really is a smoked apple bacon all day long.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Did the middle of my thought interrupt the beginning of yours? This whiskey is so out of balance.
You're out of your mind.
It just doesn't have any balance to it. It coming off the previous whiskey that was just mind-blowing, I can't believe this is from the same producer.
Well, it's the same importer. It's
not the same producer. They're an independent bottler. They're the producer.
Yeah?
Essentially.
Settle this dispute, Bob. Are they the producer?
They're the bottler. They're not the producer.
They're the bottler.
They don't make it, so they just put it in the bottle, right?
But they age it, they blend it, they bottle it.
So two different distilleries made the last two expressions, right?
Different distilleries, but, but
same
bottled.
Dude put them in the bottle.
Yeah.
That's,
they put it in a totally bottle different. and they sell it to, like, you know, grown men who actually drink real whiskey.
Right.
So.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's why he's having a problem with it. It's just. You know.
Go on, Brent. Go ahead. I'm done.
Smoked apple bacon. You know that nice apple bacon you get, that smoked? Have you ever smoked your own bacon?
Anything like this?
Yes, I have.
Yes, actually. It smells
when
just like this.
When I don't have
this.
Other options, I definitely it smells smoke just my like own that. Bacon.
So the nose is so promising, but I do have to say on the palate, it does not follow through as far as you're like, okay, balance. I got this nice smoked apple bacon. I'm ready for this
there's
for my
no
palate.
Apple. There's
and
no
that's
saline,
not what I get.
There's no bacon.
Exactly.
All right, give me some water. Come on, grab it. Let's try some water.
You know, I just don't get that. I mean, when I follow through with my palate on it, I don't necessarily get that, you know, that bacon fat. But I get it on the nose. It's
put
huge,
some water
huge.
In it. The bacon fat comes back out.
Does it?
Yeah.
You put some water in it. It's like rainbows and unicorns. Everybody's happy. La, 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 la.
But no, on the palate, I got that.
Somebody's like in a mood today.
That burnt, that, you know, that like burnt sugar. You know, and that it's kind of like that bitterness of that burnt sugar I got, you know, on the palate.
You're just missing her meat.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
The bitterness.
Yeah. You're missing the bitter.
You're missing bitter.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Well, you're bitterless.
Put some water in it, though. That bacon fat comes through.
You always need to put the water in
I'm
it.
Getting I'm getting other notes after water's in it.
The water makes a difference.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding either.
The water made a big difference.
There is
I put a
bacon
good
fat
slug
in
of water.
Do you feel, you taste that bacon fat on the back of your tongue?
You get that, you get that little clinginess in the back of your, on the back
like
of your
bacon
palate,
fat,
you know?
Right?
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But it does, that's awesome.
But I do have to say, though, that it does put out more smoke when you added that water, too, and I don't know why.
But it does give some salinity and some meatiness to it and some voluptuousness to it.
I'm lamenting nice. There's no bacon at the hockey game that I know of.
No, you're not going to have bacon.
Own. Yeah, just bring your own. That's what I do.
I have to bring my own.
BYOB, bring your own bacon.
Yeah, it's bacon. It doesn't set off a metal detector. Nobody knows.
Yeah, it's true. They're not going to care.
Exactly.
If you had this there, I would buy it, but you do not.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm. It's a good bra stuffer.
Bob, finish us off with this one.
It's got a lovely nose.
It's been nice knowing you.
Sausage and bacon. It's got that unctuous fattiness to it. There's a little bit of citrus in the back, a little bit of orange. And on the palate, again, it was good, but with a couple of drops of water.
Yeah, it really.
More than a couple drops. It needed about a bottle
of
water.
Not like that. It was just a couple drops of water.
Now I smell biscuits.
Oh, no. I put biscuits. A shot of water.
Oh, those biscuits the other night were.
Oh, God.
Like, full shot.
Yeah.
Oh, with the water, the sweetness comes through. The there's that coating on, there's that meatiness to the palate on the back of the tongue. I think it's lovely.
Yeah, if you're going to have this, you need to have it on. I think it's going to be best like on the rocks, you know, or with a little, if you're going to drink it neat with a little bit of water. You needs that. It really needs that. So
lovely. Lovely.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be rating the Gordon & McPhail Connoisseur's Choice Kahlua 2008 because I have a couple of heathens at the table. It's only getting three sips.
Interesting.
Never thought in my life I'd say I wish Harmeet was here.
I didn't really think it was deserving of more than two sips.
No, that's because you're a heathen.
It's because I'm portraying Harmeet and interrupted you and stuff. I'm giving it three sips, you know. That's why.
Okay.
Animal. All right, so moving on to our next one, we're going to have Brent tell us about that.
Thanks, Bob. Let's see if we can how many mispronunciations we can get through in this paragraph.
Go for it.
All time high. So the Glenglassaugh was founded in 1875 by businessman James Moore and coppersmith Thomas Wilson at the Sandon Bay near Potsoy.
Portsoy.
Yeah, that's close.
Yeah.
In 1893, the distillery was sold to Highland Distillers. After a downturn in the market, Glenglassaugh was forced to close in 1907. But for a few years in the 1930s, it remained closed for 53 years. It reopened again in 1960 and remained in production until 1986 when it was closed again. But in 2006, Stuart Nickerson, a former distillery manager at William Grant & Sons, reopened Glenglassaugh on the behalf of the new owners, the Sayant Group. The Sayant Group sold the distillery onto the Benriach Distillery Company in 2013. The Benriach Company was sold to Brown-Forman in 2016, giving them ownership of the Benriach Distillery, Glendronach, and Glenglassaugh. So Brown-Forman quickly became engaged in the services of Dr. Rachel Berry to help with them with their new acquisitions. Well, we all know the
best blender in all of Scotland.
Oh, yeah. Right. Rachel Berry has all the... Yeah.
No disrespect to anybody else, but I think right now she's number one.
Yeah. 30 years of service in the industry. She graduated with a degree in chemistry. She started her own whiskey career as a researcher for the Scots Whiskey Research Institute under the guidance of
Jim Swan.
Exactly. So
she worked with Jim Swan. She worked with Dr. Bill Lumsden. She worked at Bemore. She worked everywhere.
Yeah. So we'll be back to rate this whiskey when we return. Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and Brent was telling us all about Glenglassaugh.
Yeah, so we just got done with that. Now we're going to get to our first expression here, the Glenglassaugh Portsoy. It's a 49.1% ABV, 98.2 proof, and it's non-age stated. So Glenglassaugh's neighboring harbor village of Portsoy inspires a deep maritime flavor of this richly peated single malt, matured in sherry, bourbon, and port cask. Oh, when I hear the word peated single malt, you know that brings a joy to my eyes.
You're so happy.
So,
and
now when I get it though, I don't get that. I'm expecting all this peat, and I don't get it. You know, I get this. First thing I notice on the nose is I got salt. I got a little bit of salt, and then I got some fruits, and just salt and fruit is really what I get. I don't get any peat at all on the nose.
Actually, I think the peat was there when we initially poured it, and it's really blown off considerably to the point of almost being gone.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it was there.
Right.
I remember it.
but it's got some. This is on the palate. It's got like a little bitterness of a dark chocolate, some mangoes, and that sea salt just won't go away. It's almost like, did they actually put sea salt in it or something or what? But I mean, it's there on the nose, the palate, and on the finish. It's not a bad thing, and I was expecting, you know, something to be peated again, and you know, but this one, very pleasant, very enjoyable. Maury?
No, I agree with you, Brent, completely. This was a shocker, and I must admit, when I first poured it, I had rated it considerably lower. With air, the smoke has really largely blown off. It's really become much more balanced. It's got a beautiful color. The nose, I agree with you. Salt and maritime, ocean, a little bit of hint of tropical fruit on the nose. And on the palate, again, full body, dark chocolate, little bittersweet chocolate, maybe some charred mango, again, a little hint of sea salt, and then the finish just sort of fades off. I thought it was a delicious whiskey. I really liked it quite a bit, and I think patience will reward you. Pour it in the glass, walk away from it for 45 minutes to an hour,
and come back.
And I didn't add water to it, but I thought air alone did wonders for this whiskey. Justin?
Well, I love the vibrancy of the finish on this one. Like, made my mid palate sing. For me, it was like more a feeling than a flavor, although the flavor was all there. What did you think, Bob?
Oh, I'm lucky enough to have had this one before. What kind of feeling? Because I got an advanced sample of it before this one. Again, another amazing work with Rachel Berry. She's outdone herself. I've had Glenglassaugh in the past before she took over, and this is heads and tails above it. It's very maritime in character. You definitely get that sea salt. You get the seaweed note to it. It's you know that this is close to the coast. You get the sherry on the nose.
You know, Bob, add a little drop of water after you taste it this time, because I got a little, just a whiff of that peat came through on the palate after I added the drop of a couple drops of water.
And then I get a tiny little bit of the sweetness of the port on the nose, but there's some tropical fruit in there, like stewed tropical fruit, but on the palate, so good. Just again, that minerally saltiness, that flavor of the sea, some dark chocolate, a little bit of cocoa on it, and just on the exhale, just a slight bit of smoke. I mean, it's just so well done. Just a beautiful whiskey. Can't say any more about it. I mean, it's fantastic. Anybody got any other thoughts?
Nope.
We're going to be giving the Glenglassaugh of Portsoy a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that takes us to our next one, which is the Glenglassaugh Sand End. That's 50.5% ABV, 101 proof, non-age stated. This is inspired by the Crescent Beach of Sand End Bay. Glenglassaugh Sand End is matured in bourbon, sherry, and manzanilla casks for nice flavor and body. Again, pale straw color on it, a little hint of gold along the edge on the nose. Just like vanilla ice cream sandwich. There's some lovely fruit in there, a little bit of pineapple.
Yeah, we seem to have a pineapple theme today.
A little bit of pineapple, maybe a little bit of papaya, like some really nice tropical fruit. It's still got that maritime note to it, but not nearly as much as the Portsoy. And on the palate, there it is. There's your pineapple. Big tropical fruit, big pineapple, grapefruit. And a little bit more of that saltiness comes through. Again, another winner. This one's bright
It's very, very bright.
I agree with you. This one's beautiful. This one came right out of the bottle, bright and fresh. It just continues
to deliver. It's like a sunny day on the beach.
It is, but it's very pineapple. It reminds me of the Buchanan's pineapple, but this is no pineapple added. This is pure single malt.
Yeah.
But it's just delicious. It's just really a bright, sunny, beautiful all day at the beach quaffer. I can't say enough good things about this whiskey. I think it's delicious.
Again, Dr. Rachel. I mean, I always give her props. I sound like a huge fanboy, and it's because I am. I mean, I remember not too long ago, I finally got a chance to actually meet her, and it was the whole time I'm going, don't fanboy, don't fanboy, don't fanboy. And I almost dropped and did like the whole Wayne's World thing. You know, I mean, like, she's truly one of the best in the business.
Justin?
So on the nose, I'm getting that Chardonnay cougar juice note, scientifically malolactic fermentation.
Haven't heard that word all day. Harm's not here.
And on the palate, it's rich, it's tropical, kind of Asian too. It's just
like crazy rich Asians?
Like crazy rich Asian. And like, you know, nice woody finish.
Well, if I was, I'd probably be able to afford to drink this every day, so that would be good.
Yeah, this is really fun. I'm glad we had it.
Wow. I mean, this one here is worth singing the praises of what it is. Yep. It's a great product. Add a couple drops of water, and I almost kind of thought that after I added a couple drops of water, I'm like, well, I know this is not peated, but boy, it almost gets to that point where you think there's a little bit there, you know, but it's very enjoyable. It's like I said, pineapple word of the day. You know, some days it's a cask that we're talking about as word of the day. Today's pineapple.
Yeah, well, we're going to be giving the Glenglassaugh Sandend a well-deserved four sips.
That's classified.
And remember, guys, this isn't like limited edition stuff. This is the new main line from Glenglassaugh. So imagine the stuff that they've got that they're brewing up for, you know, limited edition releases. So. Well, that takes us to our next one, so we're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Well, thank you, Bob. The next whiskey will be the Glenglassaugh 12-year, coming in at 45% ABV or 90 proof. The Glenglassaugh 12-year-old embodies Glenglassaugh's signature coastal style, matured in bourbon, sherry, and red wine casks for luscious waves of ripe fruit, carried on an ocean breeze, inspired by the Aurora Borealis, also known as the Northern Lights. The 12-year-old is a reflection of the captivating dancing waves of light often seen in the sky from the distillery. That is a descriptive mouthful.
You ever seen the Northern Lights in person?
Never.
Oh my God, it's amazing. You just sit there at night and just kick back and just watch them. I mean, they just put on a light show.
The lights in, like, you know, like Times Square.
No.
Well, that's the north, right?
Yeah, not far enough north for you.
Damn Yankees.
Well, back to the regular scheduled program. The whiskey's got a nice burnished copper color. On their nose, there's sweet coastal waves of ripe apricot and fig with some toasted vanilla, little tropical flora. And then there's this ocean breeze. You just hear a little bit of hint of salinity on the palate. This one's a little different. I would say the pineapple note has faded, and this is more candied pistachios, some sweet fig and date, a little bit of cherry, whipped cream, a little coastal air, and then the finish just sort of dances on your palate for what seems like an eternity. This whiskey was decidedly different from the last one, but nonetheless, I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was delicious. I thought it was a step up in sophistication. It was a little bit more of a grown-up whiskey, a little more sophisticated, a little less of an all-day pineapples quaffer. I liked it quite a lot. What did you think, Brent?
Yeah, add a drop of water. Add a drop, a couple drops of water to this,
and it just
pops. I mean, you know, I wasn't getting the understanding of the waves that come across your palate, but once you put a couple drops of water on it, then you can understand it. You're like, oh yeah, I get it now. You know, it moves from the front to the back of your palate, and it's just kind of back to the middle, and then you get a nice finish to it.
That was a good call on the water.
Yeah, all those notes that you said about, you know, for the flavors and stuff, spot on, you know, but I didn't get that Northern Lights until I added some water. What do you think, Justin?
I think it's a lot like a Rolo with whipped cream sprayed with lemon water.
Lemon water. I thought it was rose petal. You thought it was lemon water?
Lemon water.
Okay, because the spritzer on the bottle looked like more rosy than lemony.
Definitely had that caramel texture on the back palate. I enjoyed it a lot. And the red wine was prominent on the nose.
I'm supposed to follow that.
Just give it a number. Jesus. Just follow the number. Just say, I'm in and move on.
Again, fantastic whiskey. Some great fruit to it. Still got some of that maritime note to it as well. You can tell the pedigree. You can tell this came from the same distillery as the first two, but it is just that little bit better. Fantastic whiskey. We're going to be rating the Glenglassa 12-year. Well-deserved four sips.
That's classified.
So that takes us to our last whiskey, and we're going to have Justin tell us about that one.
I am excited to tell you about Highland Park Cask Strength's fourth release. It's 64.3% alcohol by volume, or 128.6 proof. Regular listeners will remember... Remember our past reviews of Highland Park Cask Strength. This fourth release was matured predominantly in first fill seasoned European oak casks, along with first fill sherry seasoned American oak casks, a small quantity of refill casks, ex-bourbon casks, and for the first time, export casks too. Bottled straight from the cask as God intended, without the addition of water. So this is a nice light brown, kind of dark for a scotch, would be light for a bourbon.
We got a little rule back home. If it's brown, drink it down.
How did I know that that comment was coming from Homer?
He asked for it.
On the nose, I get these beautiful wood notes, light whiff of peat, and caramel toffee. On the palate, I get some floral notes, some oak, a little bit of earthiness to it, like a rich wine tannin. On the end, I get just vibration and heaven. What did you think, Brent?
Yeah, not being a scotch drinker, this is one that you can get, and I think it's relatively... decent price, you know. I'm going to say around $100, $120, and you can find it at the liquor stores. And if you're like a bourbon drinker and you want to kind of experiment into the Scotch world, and you're like, well, I don't want to drink one of those ones that's not high up there in proof or whatever, you know, those 83.6 proofs and 90. This is one that you want to go out and get because you're going to love having it in your collection, to drink every day, you know, not just to let it sit there. You're going to love to have this one open, share with friends. It's got that little bit of smoke to it that you're going to get. You mentioned the lemons. It's got a little bit of lemon down there. It's an enjoyable one when you're for the bourbon drinker. I have to say, you have to go get it because it's well worth it.
I respectfully disagree.
Why? You don't think you should?
No, get this? I don't think this is scotch for bourbon drinkers at all. I think this is a scotch for, I've been drinking scotch and I want to advance into like something a little more exotic. It's got a lot of complexity. It's got hints of smoke. It's got, you know, hints of classical scotch profile on the base. I think it's much more advanced than a bourbon drinker.
Well, it is. It is advanced.
Smoking bourbon.
It is advanced. I mean, that's the whole thing.
It's smoky. Like,
a little, yeah, but
it's well balanced.
But that's what I'm saying is that if you want to switch over and you want to go to a smoky scotch, this is the one to do it with.
Yes, but if you wanted to just switch to scotch from bourbon, there are other scotches bourbon friendly scotches without the smoke, because there's really no bourbon that's this smoky.
Yeah, it's very enjoyable though, Bob.
It's a winner, like everyone we've had so far. We've done.
I think we've done one, two, and this one on the show. I don't remember if we did three. I know I have three. And every one of them has been absolutely fantastic. And for the money, you cannot beat this release every time it comes out. It's a winner. And we're going to be rating the Highland Park Cask Strength fourth release a well-deserved four sips.
That's classified.
Under protest from me, but yeah, beautiful whiskey. Absolutely beautiful. Been waiting for that one to come out for a while, so.
Hoo-ah!
Well, that's all the time we have for today. So I want to thank everybody for coming and joining us today on the show. Thank you, Brent.
Thank you. I'm just glad that I was able to fill in for Harmeet.
You're not nearly bitter enough. Could you work on the bitterness for next
interrupted,
time?
I interrupted Maury twice, so that was good enough.
It's only twice, though.
You need a little more of a suntan, and you probably need to wear some pants and a turban.
Thank you, Maury. Oh, yeah.
You're welcome, Bob. Thank you for having me. Another delightful day in the damp, dank, dark basement.
And thank you, Justin.
Thank you. Wow. What a great day to be here.
Well, for Sip, Sud, and Smokes, Made Man Bob, thanks for joining us. And remember, life is too short to drink bad whiskey. And man, we didn't drink any bad whiskey on this show.
Woo! We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.